The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Cork City, they don't just want to survive, they want to thrive in Cork. They're aiming to become the fastest expanding city in Ireland over the next two decades with a new development plan. Announced 20,000 homes, 31,000 new jobs, a huge upgrade to local transport networks as well. And joining me to discuss it all is the Lord Mayor of Cork, Colm Kelleher, and editor of Cork Bio, Joe O'Shea. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome to the show. Colm, this is an ambitious plan, isn't it?
It is very ambitious, but I'd be a believer of go big or go home. And, as a regional capital and counterbalance to Dublin, I think it's very ambitious, but also very deliverable.
How badly needed is it?
Oh, look, I suppose over the last number of years, we've been piecemealing, enhancements to the public realm together. And we've been doing a fairly substantial job in it, but this city development plan, it's one of three key development plans that will aim to deliver an increase of population of about 50% between now and 2040. So to make sure that Cork grows as a city of an international scale.
Joe O'Shea of Cork Bio, as I mentioned, is on the line as well. Joe, I mean, a cynic might say, listen, this all sounds good on paper, but if everything on paper translated to reality, we wouldn't still be talking about a bloody event centre in Cork.
Well, listen, yeah, I mean, the event centre is the obvious one to mention. At the moment, there are two giant holes in the middle of Cork City, and the same building company is responsible for both of them. And they have been giant empty holes in the middle of Cork City for 3 or 4 years. And who knows, they might remain so. I don't want to be pessimistic about it because there's a lot of positivity in Cork at the moment. It's almost like the city's waking up after a centuries long slumber, believe me. There's a lot of dereliction in Cork City. There's a lot of empty storefronts. There's all the problems affecting a lot of cities. Mm. But what's good about this plan is, one of the things, they've looked at cities like Cork that have successfully reinvented themselves, like Copenhagen, Bilbao, Porto, that are very similar, kind of second city status, old ports that had fallen on hard times but have managed to reinvent themselves. The potential in Cork is incredible.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I saw it when I came back from London. I was in London for 5 years. I was in Dublin for 25 years before that. If we get it right, if we go at it in a big bang way and be really ambitious, it can be done. It's been done elsewhere and it can be done here.
It's interesting. You and I have spoken before about that second city thing and, that actually kind of trying to describe yourself as some sort of rival to the capital is always going to be a losing bet.
Yeah.
That it's actually better to look around and find out where the gap in the market is and insert yourself in there. Is that what this plan does for Cork?
I think it does. And I think we are very far from Dublin these days, very far psychically, very far culturally and even geographically. And it's good because we're starting to look at things from our own point of view and we're starting to look at the natural connections we can have to Europe, which we always had going back centuries as a trading port city. This thing about, the real capital, all that kind of stuff, nobody in Cork talks about that anymore. What we have to do is look at ourselves to the future and what we have and what we can do. And the interesting thing about Cork now is a lot of the change is being driven by local businesses here, like cafes that saw the opportunity that came with the pandemic and went, right, let's do what we should have done years ago, but what we've known we can always do. Let's pedestrianise the city centre. Let's put tables outside. Let's get the city going and bring back a bit of atmosphere into the city centre. You've got entrepreneurs who are coming home from abroad, who grew up in Cork, left and came back. They're setting up companies. Tech is huge here. Pharma, life sciences, all that kind of stuff. So what's driving it is not really, listen, the plan's great, fantastic.
Yeah.
Plans are great. What's driving it is people with ideas, people with energy, and people who are willing to take a risk, and more of it, please.
Colm, would you agree with Joe that there is a sense in Cork that it is waking up, not just from a COVID slumber, but from a centuries-long slumber?
Yeah, no, look, I'd agree with a lot of points that Joe's made there. I suppose, you know, we are the southern capital, and Joe's right. We don't talk about ourselves being the real capital, or you know, the counter capital. The capital is above in Dublin, and you know, we are at the second city of the Republic. And Joe mentioned we've modelled this on other cities like Copenhagen and Bilbao. And I suppose the key thing here for this draft development plan and for this city development plan is it's modelled on an internationally recognised 15-minute city centre model. And like the amount of money that has been earmarked for this, like we've already ring fenced up to 1.8 million from central government funding, and that's up to 3.5 billion, which is going to be earmarked for the city over the next 20 years with the CMATS plan, which is the Cork Area Transport Strategy, Cork Metropolitan Area Transport Strategy, which would enable a light rail system, something similar to the Lewis. We've new train stations earmarked, we've bus connects now, we're starting public consultation. Joe mentioned there that businesses, indigenous businesses, tech businesses, they're all, you know, we have a lot of them located here in Cork. And I feel that, you know, COVID has given us, I suppose, a nudge in the right direction in relation to permanently pedestrianising streets, in relation to Princes Street, Caroline Street, and stuff like that. But I believe that, you know, Brexit offers, I suppose, an opportunity here as well. We will have foreign direct investment relocating to Ireland on account of us being still within the EU, and Cork can offer just as much as Dublin, and I believe it has everything to offer as much as Dublin, you know.
And Joe, it's interesting that Colin mentioned the kind of the 15-minute city model, because I lived in Cork for 3 years when I was in college, and ever since, whenever people ask me about Cork and what I liked about it, I always say and have always said it is such a small city centre and it is so walkable. I don't think I was on a bus or in a taxi the entire 3 years that I lived in Cork.
I was born in the city centre. I live in the city centre. I live in Barrack Street, right in the heart of the city. It's where I'm from. You can walk across Cork in 15 minutes, and the interesting thing about that is you'll see 100 interesting things on the way. You'll see locally owned businesses, great food offerings. We don't have chains down here. There's barely a Starbucks in the whole of Cork. There's not really any chains. It's all local business, people with great ideas, people who've taken a risk. Even now, there's businesses opening every day in Cork, even at the tail end of a 15-month global pandemic. So what we have to do is trust, identify what makes us special, identify our story, because every great city has a great story, and identify what we need to do in the future. And the best way to do that is we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Look at what has been done in places like Porto, which is an incredible second city and is totally changed stuff. Look at what they've done and repeat that, and trust in ourselves and have ambition.
And what is that story then? You say identify that story and tell that story. I mean, for people listening who maybe don't know Cork.
Yeah. Cork is it's a mercantile port, a trading city. If you look at these undersea cables and these connections now that we have, these high-speed data cables that go from Cork to all over the world, right, the Celtic Interconnector and all that kind of stuff, they follow the trade routes that sailing ships from Cork went from the 14th century. Our future goes through, the destiny and future of Cork goes the same direction it always has done. Down the river, out through our huge harbour and to our trading partners all over Europe and all over the world. An international trading city, a great city for tech, a great city for life sciences, a great city to visit, fantastic food, so much to offer, so much potential. It just needs to be all pushed in the right direction.
And Colman, Joe talks about the trade on the river and the River Lee out into the estuary and out into the ocean there as well. And when people are on their way into Cork, you know, you look across the river towards the redeveloped Porky Cueve, and it's a really beautiful part of the city on the far side. I kind of bite my tongue, the Kilkenny man who wants to have a dig at you about that white elephant, but I won't say anything. And you've got the city then further down, and in between, you still have the port of Cork. Like, how important is it that something happens there?
Well, you know, look, the Port of Cork is in the process of relocating, the docklands are the traditional old-fashioned docklands that would run in between Porky Cueve, as you see, as you come in along the lower road there, up towards the centre of the city. that's part of the largest regeneration project in Ireland. It is the largest regeneration project in Ireland, possibly one of the largest in Northern Europe at the moment. So with the amount of money that's been invested and earmarked for docklands alone, that will really I suppose, build a town within a city and regenerate and revitalise that part of the city. But it is tapping into the traditions of, like, we are a seafaring city. We have been for a number of years. Joe touched on the trade routes. All those routes are still active. We're an internationally recognised city. We're twinned with Shanghai and San Francisco, Cologne and Coventry, just to name a few. We've got good international connectivity, but I suppose the lower road side of things, when you're looking over across the water to the marina, that would have been traditionally the industrial heartland of the city.
Yeah.
The likes of your Ocklums, the likes of your Fords, Dunlops, they all used to be located down there, and you know they're not there anymore. So there's a prime opportunity now to reimagine and reinvent that side of the city, which was so successfully done above in Dublin when they redeveloped their Docklands. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, listen, prime opportunity, great opportunities in the city, and it would be great to see some of those opportunities realised with this plan. I'd love to hear from people who are from Cork, or maybe you have lived in Cork or just know Cork. Everybody will know Cork to varying degrees. And I wonder what your priorities for the city would be. 53106, let me know. Is it, is it redevelopment of the port and that area, as Colin was talking about there? Is it revitalising transport and better cycling, better rail connections? Is it the high street and some of those vacant units that, you know, Cork struggles with, every high street in Ireland struggles with vacant units? What are they? 53106, let me know. Colm Kelleher, Lord Mayor of Cork, and Joe O'Shea, the editor of Cork Bio. Thank you both very much for joining me here on The Hard Shoulder. One listener here says they were on a school trip to Cork in 1960 and we were told it would be bigger than Dublin by 1965. How about that? Can someone tell me what's so special about Cork? Thank you, Peter. Peter, were you not listening to Joe? I mean, Joe really sold Cork to me there, thinking of relocating the News Talk studios down there. Such a sell he did. They won't do it with that one tunnel, says somebody else. Cork's traffic system is primitive. So traffic, the priority for that listener. What is your priority in terms of investment in the capital of the Southwest? 53106, let me know. Plenty still to come here on The Hard Shoulder. After the break, we're going to be speaking to a man who does battle against social media giants.